Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
So we're going to be going through 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tonight. So if you would, turn there. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, God, we're excited. We're excited to hear from you tonight. God, I pray that you just be with us. You lead us and you guide us, Father. Be with us in this time. God, I pray for Ukraine and Russia. I just pray for peace, Father. I pray for the Christians on both sides and the people on both sides. Lives are being destroyed. And God, we pray for your help. God, I pray, send your workers, send your ministers, send your angels. And open the eyes of both sides, I pray. Pray, be here tonight. Holy Spirit, fill this place. We welcome you here tonight, God. We love you. And in Jesus' name, amen. When I first moved to Orange County, I did a bit of church hopping. Now, church hopping, for those who are uninitiated and who've been at a church their whole lives, is where you kind of just pick your favorite church to go to. And in Orange County, there really is no better place, with an incredibly different church around every single corner. Some people call it the Disneyland of churches. Well, we also have the Disneyland. So with all of that, during my stint of church hopping, I visited one church that particularly was a bit more charismatic than I was used to, which was a really good time for a while. You know, they practiced the gifts, they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied, and they prayed. And I remember specifically, there was a time where a word of knowledge was given out, and it was specifically directed toward me. And I, whoa, oh man, this is crazy. And then right then, when I was a part of that, a prophet came up, or someone who functioned in the prophetic, I should say. And they gave me a prophecy. They said, Caleb, I believe that you are being called into a new career, that God is going to grow you up in this, and you are going to be raised into excellence. And I was excited. I was extremely excited because I had just changed careers. I graduated studying design, and I'd recently, in order to make it out here, switched into videography. And I was like, oh man, this is a confirmation. This is a testament. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I was excited, and I went, woo! And I just kind of went home and did that. And the next month, I got let go. And I said, And I wasn't exactly in the best financial situation. And I was hemorrhaging money, and I was struggling to make it, and I didn't know what to do, and I was filled with anxiety. And so I joined my friend at a local frozen yogurt stand. And it was humiliating. It was awful. And all the while, I was wondering, God, what in the world? You said that I would be brought up in this, that this change in my life would be good, and that I would prosper in this. And here I am, making way below minimum wage, just trying to make it in Orange County. Now, has this ever happened to you, where someone gives you a word of prophecy, and it doesn't come to pass? And the issue with me is, like, I'm actually back in my part of study. So that prophecy was not true at all. And I blamed God. I said, God, why in the world did this happen? Like, you said this. No, God didn't say that. Someone meaning to do well said something. So, you know, this had me all sorts of confused and all sorts of, you know, is this even true? Is prophecy even a thing in our modern day? Does prophecy even exist anymore? Should I trust those who speak the words of God? These are just a few of the things that I think about when I come to this passage we're about to read tonight. So turn with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 1. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how it will be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Let's pause there. So let's do a bit of a refresher. Who are the Corinthians? Who are the people of Corinth? See, the people of Corinth was the very first Gentile-started church. Or this was right around the time, this was right around the time when Paul kicked the dust off of his shoes. He said, you know what, I'm done teaching the Jews. You guys always beat me up. I'm going specifically to the Gentiles. And so he goes directly to Corinth. And so this would be his first fruits in Corinth. And this is actually, the Corinthians is where we get our name as a Christian. This was the first place where someone was called a little Christ. And so Paul teaches them. Apollos had also taught them. And then both Apollos and Paul went on their way. And so Paul gets a letter having a few issues with what was going on in the Corinthian church. And this book is a response to that letter. And there were things that were all amiss. People were drinking the communion to get drunk. There was a debauchery like never before. There was weird sexual things that were happening. And Paul was saying, hey, stop it. Just because that's happening in the world does not mean that that's supposed to be something that you are to do. See, the people at Corinth were people of the world, extremely influenced by the culture of the day, much often as we are. Now, the gift of prophecy is one that we see throughout all Scripture. You know, I'm reminded of prophets like Daniel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, who's literally grabbed by his beard and thrown away. And I also think about the prophecies in Revelation, great and mighty prophets, men that were given great insight into the future and what the future held for the lives of the people on earth. And in this, specifically in verse 2, verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. We see that the purpose of prophecy is to edify and exhort and to comfort. It's to edify the church. When looking at this, we also see speaking in tongues. And speaking in tongues is much more of a flashy gift. To be able to speak in the language of the angels is something that holds a certain level of awe and grandeur. It's a spectacle. But it was never meant to be that. It's meant to build up the body of the believer. Now, before I go too far, I think we should talk a little bit about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and see if they're even available today. In fact, there's There's a, I believe it's the Dallas Seminary. Don't hold me to that if that's not true. But there's a movement of believers that believe that the gifts are no longer available. That it was just the first two generations when the New Testament was being written, and then it ceased. And there was a cessation of the gifts. And this was just for this particular time and no time further. So what are the gifts? We can see Pastor Shaddy 2 weeks ago did an absolutely incredible job talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, specifically those of verse 4 through 10. And you can look at that at your own time and your own leisure. And if you're more interested, you can actually watch the message on Facebook or on Refuge's website. You know, you just type in 1 Corinthians 12, Pastor Shaddy, and that'll come up. It's really good. Highly recommend it. Now, it is the view of Calvary Chapel that these gifts are for today and have not ceased. That means all of them. The gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, and even healing. Now, I will say personally that this is also my belief. And not my belief from just my understanding of the scripture, but from personal experience. I've experienced healing, I've experienced the gift of tongues, and I've experienced true and real prophecy. In all of this, we have to understand, though, what the role of the Holy Spirit is and what the gifts are functioned to do. See, Jesus talks about having to leave and leaving a helper. And that's when, then that day when he, let's just go there. Put your thumb in 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to jump back to John 15, at least the end of John 15, closer to John 16. So we're going to jump back to John 15. John 15, verse 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Jumping down to verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Verse 7 of 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Verse 14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So there's a hierarchy here. We see that God is there, and all things that God has, Jesus has. He has authority there. And the Holy Spirit does not speak in his own authority, verse 13. But when he speaks, he will glorify me and take of what is mine and declare it to you. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to glorify and to declare who Jesus is. And likewise, the gifts are to glorify Jesus, not to glorify the user. That's key. Again, the purpose of the gifts are to glorify Jesus, not to glorify the user. You know, this is important because I've heard from so many good-meaning people that they want to see the power of God. They want to see a sign. But careful. Matthew 16:4 says, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign." In fact, I remember the generation that saw the most radical things. The children of Israel, when they were brought out of the land of Egypt, they saw the 10 plagues. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw Moses crack open a rock and water flowed out. In fact, they even heard the voice of God descend upon Mount Sinai like a cloud. And they said, no, please, you go ahead, Moses. You go up to that mountain. You take care of that. And Moses goes up into that mountain, And what happens next? The people forget. It's only like 40 days. And they're like, ah, Moses is dead, Aaron. Make us a god that we can worship him. So we see that signs, we see that even though there was so much power of God, there was no change of heart. See, it's the love of God that changes. It's the love of God that we're all here. And Jesus says that they will know you for our love for one another. Relationship is so important because Jesus says, Jesus says also that there are those who will prophesy in my name. There will be those that cast demons out in my name. And Jesus says, get away from me, for I never knew you. Relationship, love, that's the important thing. We are not supposed to show off our gifts to glorify us. We're supposed to use the gifts to glorify God and point others to Christ. We are not supposed to show off the gifts to glorify us. We are supposed to use the gifts to glorify God. Often when someone says that they are a prophet, people run to that person instead of God. In fact, we'll talk about this later, but in verse 34, this is probably what was happening there. In fact, there were those in the Greco-Roman world that were called oracles. And these oracles were men and women who would speak on behalf of the gods. And so you would go to an oracle and you say, what would the gods have for me? What would the gods have in my life? And the oracle would then, actually you can see this in some religions these days, but they would cast lots, and from then they were able to see what the gods would want. And then you would go on your way, paying a small fee. What is God's will for my life? You have to ask him. Not someone who claims to speak for God. You know, obviously seek wise counsel, for we know that wisdom is found in a multitude. But we don't need to use a middleman. In fact, that was the whole point of Jesus coming down. You know, I've known people in life that claim to speak with God, and then people run to them when they seek divine knowledge. In fact, I've been one of those people before, where I meet someone who is a prophet or someone who speaks the words of God, and I run to them instead of running to the Father who created me, who knit me together in my mother's womb, who's known my end from the beginning. So in this time and in this moment, when I was told about my life and how I would be moved into this new career, I took those person's words as God's words and was angry with God when the prophecy was false. Who are we running to with our problems? Are we running to others? Or are we running to the Father? Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 14. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in tongues edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now, there is an unfortunate fascination with speaking in tongues. Either tongues is not talked about at all, or there's an unhealthy view of it in the church. An overzeal to speak in tongues can lead to frustration, especially if you can't speak in tongues, and you're told by a denomination that you're not saved if you can't speak in tongues. But a fear of tongues can lead to dismissal. Oh, it's not even real, you know, and you throw the baby out with the bathwater. And to believe that the gift of tongues is no longer available today is a tragedy. The gift of tongues is still available for today. The gift of prophecy is still available for today. But why don't we normally see them? The reason why we don't normally see them is because we as modern American Christians can be independent and live relatively healthy lives without God. We don't need God. That's a lie, by the way. I'm just playing into this. You know, I didn't believe in the gift of tongues for a very long time. And it wasn't until I was woken up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. and just started to praise God that my lips began to move. And I don't even know how to describe it. But the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I felt the love of God permeate my whole body, and all I could think was, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory be to God, glory to be. And it was a wild time, because before that, I didn't even believe that was possible. I didn't even think the gifts of tongues, I thought that was just people making up words to look cool. Man, was I wrong. And man, did I miss out on that gift. See, I need God more than everything else. Like, the more I go in this walk in life, I realize, man, I need God. During COVID, during that loneliness, how did anyone survive without God? How did anyone survive without the Holy Spirit? It's beyond me. It's the dependence on the Holy Spirit that will bring us in proper alignment with the Father. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit to come, like, have you ever questioned why did Jesus leave? Like, if Jesus was crucified, died, and was resurrected, or resurrected himself, why not stay? If he doesn't have to die again, where is he? But Jesus says it's for our benefit that he had to go, because then the helper can come. See, Jesus in his glorified body was centrally located. He could only be in one spot. But the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, suddenly we have a personal connection with God unlike anything else. And Jesus can talk to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can talk to us. And in every single one of our hearts right now, God is moving, breathing, and talking, and are we listening? If you want the gift of tongues, ask for it. If you want the gift of prophecy, ask for it. Ultimately, though, this is a gift and can't be earned or achieved. It's like when your parents asked you, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And you gave them a gift. Or excuse me, you gave them a list. It's up to your parents whether they're going to give you those gifts or not. But ultimately, it's because they want what's best for you, whether or not they gave that gift to you. The gift of tongues we see in the first century church was to show that non-believers had come to Christ. It was by the gift of tongues that the apostles knew that something was different in their life. And it's even by the gift of tongues that the apostles found out that Gentiles could be saved. Now, there are those of Christian brothers and sisters that believe that in order to be saved, you need to speak in tongues. And that's simply not the case. I know many God-fearing men and women who don't speak in tongues that I know are saved because they exhibit the other gifts and very often display another gift of the Holy Spirit to prove it. Let's go to verse 12. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What's the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving thanks, since he doesn't understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And yet in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Let's pause there. I do want to talk about what the church in the first century looked like. Because when I think of a church, I think of this building here. I think of the order and the kind of the layout that we have here. I see one person talking and everyone listening in a building that's kind of separated from my house. In the modern first century, the first century church wouldn't have been like that. In fact, buildings weren't really common until after Constantine came to the faith and said, oh, you know what, Christianity, it's not illegal anymore. That's when that structure kind of came back. But before that, it was in people's houses. It was in upper rooms. It was in a living room, or you know what we would equate to as a garage. And there would be dozens of people all in this room, and they were all trying to, at least the Corinthian church, they were all trying to show off how close to God they were. And so there would be people who would be, you know, giving a revelation from what they'd read from the scripture, and there would be people who'd be prophesying, and then there would be people who would blurt out prophecies and blurt out tongues and blurt out inspiration. There was pure chaos. And we see that. We see, like, as that was happening, there were people in the back that were eating the communion, not waiting for everyone else to be done. It was chaos. And so Paul, as he's going through this, he's also talking about what the order should be. In fact, I really like the connection that Paul makes in 14, where he talks about if there's a flute. Hold on, where's that at? Yeah, verse 7. Even things without life, whether flute or harp, where they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? Imagine going to an orchestra and they're about to play some beautiful classical music. And also there's a jazz band. And also there's a rock band. And also there's some EDM. And also there's some heavy metal. All playing at one time. Just a barragement and cacophony of sounds. And that's kind of what was happening. Now, all of those genres sound good by themselves. So there, even in those genres, there is order. There was no order in the Corinthian church. But that was also because they didn't really know what church looked like. They were still developing it. In fact, the first century church didn't even have the New Testament. We're reading it as it's being written. Verse 21. In the law it was written, when with men of other tongues and other lips, I speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if you all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he will be convinced by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Imagine going to a house and you're not a Christian at all, and you're invited by this nice person, and then you come in and all of these people are speaking what sounds to you like babble. You would never come back. Wait, no, come back. Hold on. Like, no, this is... And he's saying, hey, there's an order here. When you speak, there needs to be an interpreter. And there should only be 2 to 3. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back. Paul is teaching the church what a service is to look like. We take our structure for granted, you know, our setup, our worship, our break, our coffee break, the teaching, worship, and then we leave. Paul is instructing how the church should behave. It's not one of showing off. This is what God has told me. Or this is what I've heard from God. Or maybe when someone was giving a teaching and someone had a tongue, or a word of knowledge, they've just blurted out. And then five people would try to interpret those tongues. No, this is what it means. No, this is what it means. It would have been chaos. Paul is showing how necessary it is to have order, to prefer your brothers over yourself, and to edify the church with your gifting. Verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification, preferring your brother over yourself. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at most three, each in turn. Let each one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all of the churches of the saints. Verse 34, let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did the words of God come originally from you, or was it you only that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all these things be done decently and in order. So there's a lot of things here. And so there's some strong language here that's used, and I think we should get into it. Kind of to break the fourth wall a little bit, the last time I talked, I also talked, I seem to have a really good knack for picking some pieces of scripture that are a bit controversial. Now, I do want to say that they're controversial because they're controversial in our culture. Look at our world around us. Look at the chaos. Look at what's ensued. So we do need to come to the Word with an open mind. But that being said, we should talk a little bit about this. You know, I did a bit of research to try to figure out what's the best way to talk about this passage, specifically verses 34 and 35 and 36. For it seems strange to see this passage in this light. For there were prominent women of the church at that time, you know? And it also seems odd that Paul would forbid women to speak. For he says in 1 Corinthians 11 that when a woman does speak, she's to have her head covered. So obviously there must be context in what Paul is saying. And yeah, there was. See, evidently there was an issue with the women of Corinth interrupting the service. Like I said, we can't really think of a church service as one like today. I speak from a microphone. I don't particularly like to yell. But I can definitely hear when people are having a conversation up here when I'm teaching. You know, it's not that big of a room. And imagine how distracting it would be if someone was talking, giving a word, and someone then was asking what was going on or if they had questions. In fact, if you've ever led a Bible study, you'll be very familiar with kind of that one question. You know, you could be going through Exodus, and then someone will bring up Revelation in the end times, and then it'll just totally derail. And so evidently, that's what was happening here in Corinth. Paul was telling the women of Corinth that if they had a question, to ask their husbands, which is also a calling of the men of the church. You, husbands, are called to be the spiritual leader of your family, of your wife. And if your wife is supposed to ask you questions, ask you spiritual questions, then you should be ready to give an answer. There's a calling here. But you are called to be the spiritual leader in your house. And so if you're not married, you're also supposed to rise up to that occasion, men. So are you stepping into that role that God has called you to? The key verse in this section is to let all things be done decently and in order. See, in that time, we kind of learned from 1 Corinthians 11 that it would have been possible that if a woman was to talk, you know, she would have, maybe it was an interpretation of a tongue. And so when she was interpreting, she was teaching over the church. And that was something from chapter 11 that wasn't supposed to be done. So, you know, if you'd like more information kind of about chapter 11, this does provide quite a bit of context. Again, you can go on YouTube or, you know, talk to me or anyone with the black lanyard at the end of service, and I'd be happy to talk about it. But how can we apply this to today? Ultimately, we are to behave in a way at church that's respectful and in order. If someone is teaching, we're to listen and not to ask until afterwards. If someone is speaking in tongues, there needs to be an interpretation. Otherwise, they're supposed to keep that word to themselves. And ultimately, the gifts, the spiritual gifts, are for the edification of the church and all to the glory of God. The spiritual gifts are to point you to Christ and not to another man or woman. We are called to love God, to live our lives in a manner pleasing to God, to be respectful of those who are leading the church, to prefer our brothers or sisters above ourselves, and to run to Jesus with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. So are you saying, Jesus, here I am, use me? Holy Spirit, lead me. Tell me where to go. Tell me who to talk to. Tell me what to do. Help me learn how to best glorify you in all that I do. Now, at the beginning, I talked about a prophecy that was not true. But I have experienced real, legitimate prophecy. In fact, my mind goes back to last May. I was in North Carolina. And I was in North Carolina helping my dad teach at another church. And this woman comes up and she speaks this word. And she says, the Lord is building up the second generation of the church. The Lord is going to use men and women, and that you specifically are a soldier of God. You're in the Lord's army. And that's pretty cool. So maybe someone's given you a false word. Maybe you've been turned off by an improper use of tongues. Or maybe you just want to know who Jesus is. We should talk about that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for your word, God. God, there's so much here, and I never feel like I do enough justice, but I know that you are speaking in the hearts of every single person here, God. God, I pray that if anyone desires a gift, God, that they pray for it, that they ask for it. God, I pray that if anyone desires you, that they invite you into their lives. They say, Jesus, 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 I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Lead me into the truth. I'm sorry for what I've done. I'll follow you with the rest of my life. But ultimately, God, let all of us pray that. May we follow you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength for the rest of our lives. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life.